Shall we be on our feet as we welcome the servant of God to guide us in this part? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you.
Morning, church. Before we pray, I want us to do the reading. We'll be reading first from the book of 1 Peter, from chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, and it says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." We will also read 1 Peter again, 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 11 to 20. It says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor, and servants, be subjects to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come into your presence, to sit at your feet, to hear from you, O God. Thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will break this word to us, O God. Your word, Lord, will convict us. Your word will bless us. Your word will transform us, O God. Father, I pray that no one will leave here the same way they came. But Lord, they're going to leave this place blessed, encouraged, oh God, and empowered to serve you out there. Come, Holy Spirit, and dwell in the hearts of your people, breaking every word to us, O God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated. I welcome you all and those watching online to this moment of listening to the Word of God. And the theme for this month is the Christian community and the witness of faith. The message for today is entitled, Your Christian Life, a Living Transformative Witness in the Community. Now, it is not easy to live a transformative life in our communities this day, and most of the communities are pagan. And before I go on, I'd like just to tell you what a community means. A community is a group of people who gather together, they share ideas, they share challenges. Maybe it's a professional community, it could be a church community, and one person can belong to more than one community, several communities. For example, you may have a business people community, and at the same time, you're in a church community. For example, I belong to the choir community. At my place of work, I also belong to the professionals community of the auditors, because I'm an auditor by profession. In the neighborhood, you will find people belonging to farming communities, and so on and so forth. There are communities of academics, historians, scientists. All those are communities which kind of share the same beliefs and meet together. And I just want to emphasize at this point, to be a transformative witness in your community, you cannot give what you do not have. You can't give what you do not have. To be a transformative witness, you yourself must first be transformed. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's perfect will. Therefore, to be a witness in your community, you need yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that then you can be able to impact your community, the community that you are in. And otherwise, you can be coming to church, you can pray, you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, but you'll not be able to impact anybody by all that. And we read in the book of Galatians 5:22 about the fruit of the Spirit, which transforms us. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And these are the things that are seen in a Christian who is transformed. And is it that easy to live a transformed life on your own in our communities? For example, can you still live a transformed life and be a witness even when you are suffering adversity? Or can you still be a transformative witness in the face of success? If you are experiencing so much success, you might feel that you belong to a different level. Can you still be a witness in your community? Or you will end up isolating yourself and feeling that you are not like them. Can you still be a transformative witness in the community, even when others don't necessarily agree with you? They don't share your viewpoint. Can you still be a transformative witness? Now, as I was studying this, I found that there are some characteristics that can help you to be a transformative witness in your community. One is to demonstrate the ministry of presence. J. just being there. To be a transformative witness in your community, you have to be there. When the choir is meeting, you have to be there. When the business people are meeting, you have to be there. When the farmers are meeting, you have to be there. I remember I was in the hospital visitation ministry in my home church, and I used to visit patients in hospital. And sometimes I just used to be there. I don't know what to tell the patient or the people who are grieved. Because sometimes you can say something which will hurt that person even more. But just being there, sitting there, and maybe allowing them to talk or allowing them to cry is ministry. So to be a transformative witness in your community, you need to be present in that community. I know we have technology, and technology makes us to do things online without seeing others. But I believe sometimes we need a human touch. And I know in this church, sometimes you sit next to a person every Sunday. You have never talked to them. Maybe when the leader says greet one another, you greet. And at the end of the service, you walk out and go. You never even know their name. But maybe that person is longing for a touch, is longing for a conversation. Let technology not rob us of that human touch. And the ministry of presence was demonstrated by Jesus Christ himself. He left heaven and came to earth. He was comfortable there with the Trinity, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But he chose to come. He left his throne. He came and dwelt among us. That is the ministry of presence. And that's the same thing we need to demonstrate as Christians in our community in order to impact the community as witnesses. Because John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That is Jesus. He left heaven to come and dwell among us when he brought salvation to us. Another thing I learned is that to be a transformative witness in our communities, we need to practice sharing and pooling of resources. Don't be the Dead Sea. How many know the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is in Jordan, and it borders Israel as well. It only receives water. It does not take out. It only receives. And some of us, we love our hands to be always below and never on top. So, the early church, as you read in the book of Acts, from verse 42, says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul." People wondered. "And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their foods with gladness." So let us demonstrate the spirit of sharing. That is what happens in a community where you want to be a witness. You demonstrate the spirit of sharing. We know in that early church setting, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who sold their piece of land, and because of greed, they kept part of it, and the rest of the money they took to the disciples. And you know what happened to them, they died. And if we look around in our society, sometimes I feel guilty as well. You can go to your wardrobe and find so many clothes. Some you don't even remember when you wore them last. And if you have not worn a dress for a year, I don't know whether you need it again. So let us demonstrate the spirit of sharing. When I was growing up, a child in the village belonged to every person. If a neighbor found you misbehaving along the road, they would beat you. After beating you, if you go and tell your mother will again beat you. Because the child belonged to every person in the community. We were looking out for each other. Children were being educated. If a child is passed exams in the community and the parents cannot raise school fees, another neighbor would raise money to say, let's take this child to school. This child is intelligent. And the child goes to school. And before you know it, this child gets employed by the government and comes back to the community. But these days, we seem to think so-and-so's problem is not my problem. But to be transformative witness, we must look out for each other. In as much as we have resources, we should be able to support each other in the community. Hallelujah! And sometimes we say we don't have. I always go back to a sermon which was preached here by Dr. Muyonga sometime, where the Israelites were in the desert and they say they didn't have anything to give. Yet they had gold, and God knew they had gold. And I think of this woman of Zarephath who had only a little oil and a little flour during the famine. But she gave that flour. And the Bible says that she and Elijah and her son, they never went hungry because she gave that little that she had in faith. That you can read in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. And you can see later on that because of that initial obedience, when her son was about to die, it is the same Elijah who came and raised that child to life. So let us look at the bigger picture, not just the here and now. Let us look at the bigger picture. Today you may have affluence. Today you may have it all. But you don't know what tomorrow brings. The person who is at the very bottom today may be at the top tomorrow. And the person who is at the top today may be at the bottom tomorrow. And we are all children of God. We really don't give anything to deserve what we get. It is just His grace. It is just His sufficient grace which puts us where we are. And so nobody should boast about it. Hallelujah. And in giving, usually I say when your cup is full, when you are invited to a party and they go around filling your glasses, unless you drink, that glass will remain full and the waiter will keep passing by. He'll never add you more. So you have to drink. And if you can't drink, give it to somebody else to drink so that your cup can be refilled. So if you are always receiving like the Dead Sea and not giving out, then you cannot receive more. What happens in the Dead Sea is that the water has become full of bacteria. It cannot be used for drinking. People go there to float on it, on the lake, because it only receives and does not give out. So when you keep on keeping to yourself so many things, they soon become a snare. Hallelujah. Another thing I learned is that to be a transformative witness in our community, we need to live a godly life. In pagan communities, we need to stand for the truth and speak it in love. And we need to forgive one another. And we need to suffer for doing good, not evil. Sometimes I feel sorry for Christian lawyers. Christian lawyers sometimes have to defend Christian friends even when they are guilty. And it's a challenge because this your friend is a Christian, but they are clearly guilty. They have done what the court says they have done. But you are going to defend them so that they be set free and that you know they are wrong. That is a big challenge. I feel sorry for those lawyers. But suffering for being a Christian is commendable. suffering for doing what is good is commendable. I remember there have been hushed, silent, hushed, backward voices. We from MONUSCO, we started a fellowship at Loverside. And it is to cater for people. Our service here starts very early. And some people don't really come to church. So we go together and thought of starting a fellowship. And there have been very hushed voices against that fellowship. But the thing is, nobody walks over to my pastor, Pastor David, to ask him, why did you start that fellowship? But if you walk over to him, he will explain. He will stand and explain what happened. But we just talk in hushed voices behind our backs, behind the doors. Oh, this fellowship was started. We should be able to explain our actions as Christians. And if you walk over to my pastor, David, he will explain to you why a fellowship was started within MONUSCO. Hallelujah. Now, we need to keep a clear conscience and give a reason to what we believe and why we believe it in order to be a Christian, a transformative witness in our society. If you cannot explain what you believe and why you believe it, then it is highly unlikely that someone else will believe in you, will follow you. It's highly unlikely somebody will want to do what you're doing, want to follow you. Hallelujah. Another thing is unity. Unity is a living, transformative witness in the community. Jesus prayed for unity in the book of John 17, from verse 20 to 26. He said that, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. See my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And he prayed that we may be one, even like Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God are one. So to be a transformative witness in our community, we need to be united. Let nothing break us in our community. There is always betrayal. We will always step on one another's foot. But let forgiveness be within us. We forgive those who sin against us, and we continue to live together in peace, because within our community, we are going to hurt one another. And we may have different schools of thoughts, but that should not separate us. We should remain united. When we are united, then the world will see and want to know what is it that is keeping these people together. Unity will promote the witness of the gospel among us. Unity also demonstrates the heart of the shepherd. When we are in a community, like in the choir, when I've not seen one girl for some time, I always ask, what happened to this girl? So when you don't see somebody for a long time in your community, reach out, find out what happened to so-and-so. We have not seen him for several days. I've not seen him. Reach out to them. They could be suffering. That is what unity is about. Going out for the one out of the 99. You are here as the 99. But when one person is missing, maybe they are sick, maybe they are depressed, as a community that is transformative, reach out to that one who is not coming, who is not present, who has isolated themselves, and find out what could be going wrong with them. What could be their problem? Hallelujah. In the community also, unity leads us to celebrating one another. We cry with each other. We celebrate each other. In the choir, I always use the example of the choir. When a child is born, you will see how much celebration is in the choir. When one is getting married, you will see they want to fly because they are so happy. They celebrate each other. When a child is born, they celebrate each other. And that's what we need to do. Don't refuse to celebrate because it's not happening to you. Don't refuse to celebrate because it's not happening to you. Because your own time will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in summary, you cannot give what you don't have. You must first be transformed to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Demonstrate transformative witness by being present with the ministry of presence and frequent interaction. You should share and pool resources in order for the effect of the transformative witness to take place. You should live a godly life in a pagan community. Stand for the truth, speak in love, forgive one another, and suffer for doing good, not evil. If you have sinned, be pleased to suffer for your sin. If you have stolen and you are being punished, rejoice. But if you are also being punished for not doing evil, like we are doing at the UN Fellowship, then we rejoice even more because our reward is greater. And unity is a living transformative witness to the community, and it should also act as a shepherd voice going out for the one sheep which has gone astray. May the Lord bless you. Amen.